Hey guys, so we are getting ready to move on in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and we'll go ahead and read that together again. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So today, the topic that we have is if anything is excellent. If anything is excellent. Now, from the scriptural standpoint, the idea of excellence of what Paul is talking about here is actually considered virtue, okay, or moral excellence. And while focusing on moral excellence is certainly something that I want to do, I think that we can gain a lot of understanding of what God's expectation is for us in the idea of excellence, as Paul tells us that if anything is excellent. You know, we, from our modern culture, use the word excellent quite a bit. You know, when I was young, the word excellent meant like catching a good wave. But I'm thinking more in terms of how we look at things like, say, for example, in a school system, right? We talk about academic excellence, right? If a school wants to attract students that are mathematically gifted, they focus on having mathematical excellence, right? And so we see excellence as something of rising to the top, of trying to be the very, very best and really focusing on producing the top quality in what you're doing. Now, I had a really good friend in Hagerstown, Maryland named Bob, and Bob was one of those guys that was always striving for excellence. He was an assistant state's attorney, and everything that he did to the very best and to the highest possible standard. And, you know, I really learned that about Bob when he asked me one day if I wanted to come over and help him build a corral. You see, he had leased out some of his land to a local farmer so that they could both benefit. The cows would eat the grass there on his farmland, and, you know, he'd make a little extra cash on the side by, you know, having his son Robbie go out and feed the cows every once in a while. So when he invited me over, I'm thinking like, okay, we're going to get out here. We're going to dig some post holes, and we're going to just, you know, nail some boards up and, you know, I don't know, maybe like an hour or so, you know, just something like some real good hard work. And then, you know, we'll be done. And so I get out there and we begin to dig. We dig the first hole and Bob gets the measurements out. He's got his tape measure and he's measuring it exactly. And we put that post down in the ground, and I go to start digging the next one. And Bob's like, well, hold on a second. And so he measures this post to make sure that it is exactly the height that he wants it to be. And then starts talking with me about how we're going to make sure that this next hole is exactly a certain depth so that the tops of both posts will be even. And so we go through and we do this. And because, you know, this corral's being built on slopes and hills, Bob goes through and each pole is dug at a slightly different level so that everything is nice and even across the top. And once we finished that, then Bob went about, you know, measuring off where each of these boards was going to go so that everything was measured and precise. So when those boards were up, everything was even and beautiful. Now, it took a lot longer than what I would have done, but that corral was perfectly made. Its measurements were accurate. And the reality is, guys, that's what excellence is. It is performing something at the highest possible level. And so I learned from Bob that day the importance of making sure that you do everything correctly, that your measurements are correct, that the fence is built correctly. And so we see this as an example of excellence. So when it comes to our faith, that's where we need to be thinking. We should be pursuing excellence. And so our next point is the pursuit of excellence. How do we pursue this? So we're to think about it, okay? We're to think about the things that are morally excellent. And as Paul would go on to say in verse 9, we're to put those things into practice. So how do we get there? Well, the Apostle Paul teaches us about excellence by comparing it to a race. Comparing our faith and excelling in that which is moral to a race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, it says, "But do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Do you see what he just described there? He just described excellence, the very best. Everybody's running in a race, right? Everybody's on that path or that process. So he's saying, you excel. Be excellent in running this race of faith. And so we pick back up in verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. Do you see what Paul is doing there? He's saying, look, your faith, your moral excellence needs to be a priority. And so Paul goes on to say, listen, I don't do this in a half-hearted way. I don't do this casually. I train and I put effort and discipline into being who God wants me to be, so that I can know that in the end, I win the race. I am going to receive this crown that is imperishable. But he says, this only comes through strict discipline, through fervent effort. You see, my friend Bob could have built an average corral, one like I would have built. But he probably would have had to go back and fix it again, because it wasn't put in the level of precision that could have caused it to last longer. You know, I built that corral with him over a decade ago. I guarantee you that if he still owns that property, that corral is still standing, because the one who built it believes in excellence, right? And so here's the thing, and the reality of all of this is that in order to have moral excellence, we have to be disciplined. We have to have structure. Paul says, I'm not just punching at the wind. I'm not just kind of out here doing things. I am focused. I am purposeful in what I'm doing. He talks about a boxer as a boxer. I'm not beating at the wind. What he's saying is, like, when I punch, I make sure I'm going to hit something. I'm not just throwing haymakers out there hoping something's going to land. I am accurate. I'm looking. I'm focused. And when the shot comes, I take it. I hit. Excellence is about being focused on doing the things we need to do. Now, excellence doesn't come without training, right? Have you ever noticed that when somebody's struggling in sports, people step back, and rather than teaching them more and more complex things, they say, let's step back and let's get back to the basics. Let's put things back to the very basest level so we can make sure to correct what's going wrong. Like, for example, if I were playing baseball and all of a sudden I couldn't hit the ball anymore, the thing that I have to get back to is I have to look and go, why am I not hitting the ball? And my coach is going to take me aside and go, okay, John, let's get out here. We're going to get out with the pitching machine and we're going to work on your stance. We're going to make sure that your feet are planted well. We're going to make sure that your shoulders are level. We're going to make sure that you've got that elbow up, that you're ready to make that nice, straight, solid swing. We're going to make sure that you're following through. We're going to make sure that you're tracking the ball the whole way, that from the time it leaves the pitcher's hand to the time that it hits your bat, your eye is on it. Because those basic things are what allow a person to hit a baseball and to hit it well. Right? And so the coaches are going to go back to that place and say, let's get back to the basics. How are we going to help you hit the ball well? Well, for us as believers, the basics bring us back. The fundamentals bring us back to what the apostles were training the church for in the book of Acts. You see, they dedicated themselves to the apostles' doctrine. To us, that's the scriptures. They were focused on making sure that they were studying the things that they needed to be studying. For us, reading the Word, being in God's Word, knowing it, knowing what God's plans are, help us when we're struggling with sin, right? Because when I'm sinning, God, the Word reveals sin to me. It helps me to understand where I'm messing up. But it also gives me directions as to how to do things right in the future. So God's Word is like that solid planting of my feet. It gets me to a place where I know that I've got a solid base to take care of my swing. The next aspect of what he said was prayer, right? If I have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ, if I am someone who is constantly in prayer and focusing on God, it puts my mind in the right place to do the next right thing. I'm thinking about my Savior and what He's done for me. He talks about fellowship. So staying connected with the team. You know, a baseball player is not very good on his own. Sure, you can get out there and you can hit the ball and you can, you know, maybe field. But unless you've got your team around you to support you, there's not much you can do. If I'm playing defense in baseball by myself, I better strike everyone out, because if they hit the ball, every ball hits a home run. I can't get to them in time. But with that connection, with that relationship with each other, we're able to succeed together. Because where I fall short, you are strong. Okay? Where you fall short, I'm probably strong. As a body together, we work well. And so through fellowship, we are able to fight against the enemy, because we're not trying to do it on our own. We're working and strengthening each other together. Talks about breaking of bread, which the primary focus of the Lord's Supper is to remember the sacrifice that was made for us and to rejoice in what God is bringing about in our life. And so to continuously remember and focus on the sacrifice of Christ. And we'll talk about that more as we move on. And finally, the aspect of giving. The church took everything that they had and they had it in common. You see, the basics of our faith is taking care of each other. And so when we get back to these basics, when we focus on the fundamentals, when we're struggling with sin, when we're struggling with anxiety, when we're struggling with fear, when we get back to the basics and focus on doing those things well, really committing time to Scripture, really committing time to prayer, really committing time to each other, we are able to excel. But it's not just knowing these things that makes the difference. It's important to put them into practice. In Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You see, the reality is that for moral excellence to be achieved, we can't just talk about it. We can't just look at it. We have to be doing it. We have to take the things that Jesus taught us, the things that we were given through the apostles, and we need to be actively pursuing them. And Jesus says when the hard times come, if we have built our house on this solid foundation and put it into practice, doing these things, there's nothing in the world that can shake us. No storm, no struggle, no difficulty, nothing bad will ever overtake us. And so we look and we recognize that by going back to the basics and really focusing on doing those things well, continuing to practice and reading scripture until it becomes a steady part of our life, practicing in prayer until we feel so comfortable talking to God, it's second nature, practicing in developing those relationships and putting fellowship with fellow believers above everything else starts to build and to create for us excellence. Well, one thing about becoming excellent is that having a great coach helps. Do you ever wonder why so many professional athletes' kids end up becoming great athletes as well? Now, naturally, there's a genetic talent base there, okay? But there's also the reality that when you have a great coach helps you to get further faster. A great coach helps you to learn where you're messing up in the basics and teaches you how to correct those behaviors so you do well. And that's why so many professional athletes or children of professional athletes or children of coaches become such great athletes is because they had those foundations early and someone teaching them so that they would excel and build upon the things that they had learned. In our faith, we have the greatest coach. We have the greatest person to lay the foundation. And because of who Jesus is, there is an excellence that we can trust in. An excellence that we can look at to strive towards and to set as our standard to allow us to build in excellence. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, it says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to do what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." You see, when that new life was given to us, he talks about the washing and the regeneration. He talks about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes upon us in baptism. He talks about how this grace has given us a new hope. It's given us a new ability to live out moral excellence. And once Paul has delivered what Jesus has done for us, the foundation he laid through his sacrifice, how that gives us the ability to live out good works. He says, teach them this, because this should inspire them to be excellent. The Bible tells us, be holy as I am holy. Talking about God, be holy as I am holy. Be perfect as I am perfect. This is a striving for excellence in everything that we do when it comes to our faith. So when he tells us that anything is excellent, think about these things. well, what is morally excellent? What could possibly be more morally excellent than looking like our Savior? Excellence is being the very best. Excellence comes when we strive in our faith, just like in any other race, to finish first, to be the top of our class, to excel in love, to excel in grace, to excel in mercy, to excel in our relationship with God, so much so that it cannot be missed by people. That is excellence. And that is what we can achieve through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So my encouragement to you is think about what is excellent. If there's anything excellent, anything that you see in others or see in the Word that can lead you and help you to focus on being the very best, the most virtuous, the most excellent you could possibly be morally, focus on those things.